All right, let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21. And if you need a Bible, there should be one in the hymn rack there in front of you. You may feel free to use it and follow along. I think it will help you tremendously if you follow along with keep your Bible open and keep tabs on me here this morning. Some of you are not in your normal seat, and you've got me all fouled up here this morning. Brother O'Chang, you're supposed to be in the balcony, sir. You're sitting down on the main floor, and I'm all confused this morning. Betty, make sure he goes to the balcony next week, okay? No, I'm kidding. You can sit wherever you want. I'm joking, but some of you are out of place today, and that just fouls me up when you do that. Oh, I don't know when it was, a long time ago. Brother Ed Miller was the instigator behind it, but I teased everybody about sitting in their assigned seats. And I came in here one Sunday night, and he had the choir switched. The sopranos were over on the alto side, and the altos were over where the tenors, or where the sopranos were, and the basses and tenors had switched. And everybody from right midway that always sits over here was over on this side, and everybody over on that side was over on this side, and I was as confused as a termite in a yo-yo. I had no clue what was going on, and I was sitting here looking, and said, something's wrong. Something is wrong. He had the staff switched. Everybody was switched. I was so confused, and I knew he had done it because his little bald head was just red as it could be, just shining like as much as it could shine. And it was something. Marty liked that one. You like that one, Marty? Yep. All right, Matthew 21. Everybody there? All right. I want you to follow me now and stay with me. I'm going to go through. I'm going to read 11 verses, the first 11 verses, and then I'm going to tell you the story, and then I'm going to go make my first point, and then I'm going to prove my first point. So I got about 25 minutes of teaching, all right? I'm going to have to teach you something for about 20, 25 minutes. Now, when I get to where I've taught you what I need you to see, I will then preach the daylights out of you, all right? But I got to teach you something first. So stay with me and no sleeping while I'm teaching. And then if you can sleep while I'm yelling at you after a while, then you deserve the rest. Go ahead and sleep. But the first part is just I got to teach you something, all right? So you got to give me your ear. But let's begin in verse 1. And this is a familiar passage of Scripture. This event that I'm about to read took place 1 week before the Lord went to the cross. This is this event happened just before the Lord entered into the city, and it is a description of what took place just before what we call the triumphal entry of Christ. Okay? The choir just happened to sing this morning the song that you will see in the Living Cross tonight when the Lord is coming into Jerusalem. He comes in the name of the Lord, the triumphal entry. So let's read it beginning in verse 1. It says, "And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them. And straightway he will send them. All this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughters of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and the colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Now let me just stop here and tell you that the word Hosanna means save now. That's what the word means, save now. Then verse 10, and when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Now keep your Bibles open, please, to this passage of Scripture. And I want you to look back in verse 1. It says that that the Lord Jesus sent two disciples to the little town of Bethphage to get a donkey for the Lord to ride into the city of Jerusalem on for the triumphal entry. Now, I want us to think this morning about this little task that the Lord gave to the disciples. Go into the city or the little town of Bethphage and get a donkey for the Lord. I'm going to entitle my message this morning, The Errand. The Lord sent these two on a little errand. And I want us to think about that errand this morning. Let's pray together and then the message. Our Father, thank you so much for your wonderful word. And I pray that you will bless as I preach from this passage of Scripture today. I pray the Holy Spirit to enlighten our hearts, to help us to see the point. And Lord, may we apply your word to our hearts in a great way. I just, as best as I know how, surrender myself to you and ask you to help me this morning. And Father, would you fill me with your Spirit and empower the Word of God? May it not be my words that move, but may it be the power of the Holy Spirit that moves every heart this morning. Speak to us, Father, we pray. We need to hear from heaven today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, the Lord Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem for the triumphal entry. This will be 1 week before he goes to the cross. He is fully aware that this will be his last visit to the city. He knows that in just 7 days they are going to nail him to the cross, and he is going to die on the cross to pay the penalty that we owe for sin. Now, preparations must be made for his entry into Jerusalem. There is prophecy that must be fulfilled. And so in the first part of this chapter, as they come towards Jerusalem from the southeast and come across the Mount of Olives, the Lord Jesus sends two disciples on an errand to the little village of Bethphage, which was located on the Mount of Olives somewhere. Bethphage means this. It means the house of figs. Now, just where it was, nobody knows for sure. But we do know that it was situated somewhere on the Mount of Olives near the little town of Bethany, where Lazarus and Mary and Martha lived and where Jesus visited on a regular basis. It's interesting that nowhere else in Scripture is the name Bethphage mentioned. No other place. But it is and has been forever immortalized because of this story and the very fact that it was the Lord Jesus who mentioned the town and immortalized because of the story and the errand of the two disciples. Now, an unnamed man, a friend of the Lord Jesus, lived in the city of Bethphage. He had an animal that the Lord Jesus would have need of. This little beast of burden, called an ass, we would probably feel a little more comfortable calling it a donkey. That would cut down on all the unsigned letters that I would get this week for calling it what the Bible calls it. But we would probably feel a little better calling it a donkey, so that's what the term that I will use. But these animals are still used in the Middle East. They are little flop-eared beasts, skinny little legs, just little itty-bitty legs, tiny little things, generally gray or tan in color, but very sure-footed. And they can carry huge loads on their backs. They're amazing little creatures. You can still see them in Israel today. They are used often as beasts of burden, and you see them all over Israel even today. Now, the errand that these two disciples were given was to go to the little village of Bethphage and secure this little beast to bring to Jesus so that he could sit upon it and ride into the city of Jerusalem. And probably, if you think about it, you can see how this whole scenario would have played out. Without a doubt, the Lord had a friend who lived there, and he knew this fella. This fella knew the Lord. No doubt, this fellow was a believer. And probably sometime earlier, the man had come to the Lord Jesus and said to him, "If there is ever anything that I can do for you, you just let me know, and I will be glad to do anything I can for you." And it was probably then that the Lord Jesus said to him, "Well, sir, thank you for your kindness. And if some of my people in the future should happen to come to you and say to you that, or with a request, the password will be, 'The Lord hath need of him.' And then you will know that the message is from me. And when that time comes, if you can help me out, it would be greatly appreciated." And so on this day, the Lord sent two of his disciples to his friend, where they saw a donkey and its colt. And the disciples said to the man that owned them, "The Lord hath need of them. The Lord hath need of them." And our Lord's friend remembered and willingly gave them over to the disciples, and the disciples brought them to Jesus. And when they did, the errand was complete. The errand was done. And what followed, and we read it a moment ago in the text, what followed was the triumphal entry of the Lord Jesus Christ into the city of Jerusalem, amid the wild enthusiasm of the people. "Hosanna," they cried, which means "save now." "Save now, Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Now, folks, that's the story. It is a simple, sweet little thing that happened in that final week as the Lord Jesus made his way into the city of Jerusalem for the last time. Now, what I want to speak to you on this morning is the errand that Christ gave to these two disciples. As I was preparing the message, I had three thoughts that I was going to share with you about this errand. But as the message developed, I'm really only going to develop one of those three thoughts this morning. And so here is what I want to develop in the message this today. I'll do the other two, Lord willing, in the weeks to come. But I want us to see something unique about this errand that the Lord sent the two disciples on. And what I want you to see is this. I'm going to give it to you, and then you need to let me develop it before you'll see where I'm wanting to take you in the message. But I want us to see something unique about this errand. We need to see, we need to view, we need to understand this errand, what the Lord asked these two to do, in the light of a rebuke. Now, you might want to just mark that down on your bulletin so you can look down at it. We need to understand, we need to see this errand in the light of a rebuke. Now, let me explain to you what I mean. I don't expect you to see the point just yet. In order to understand the rebuke that is in the errand, we need to go back to the 20th chapter, the previous chapter. And let me explain to you why I say that the errand came as a result of a rebuke. Go back to chapter 20 for just a moment. And look, please, at verse 20. In verse 20, the Bible says, "Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him." Now, you know who the sons of Zebedee were, right? James and John. The sons of thunder, they're called in the Bible. James and John. So James and John, who were disciples of our Lord. And all the disciples are there. I'm going to point that out in a moment. And in the midst of everybody being there, the mother of James and John, as they're on their way to Jerusalem, they're on their way. And the mother of James and John come to the Lord Jesus, and she has a certain request that she asks of the Lord. What is it? Look at verse 21. "And he said unto her, What wilt thou? She saith unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on thy on the left in thy kingdom." Now, what do you think of that? The mother of James and John came asking for certain favors. And folks, you've got to realize that everyone was there. In verse 17, the 12 disciples were there, all of them. And so James and John were there as well. She did not come alone. Every person heard her ask for favors for her son, and you can be assured that James and John sympathized with her request. And what she asked was if her two sons could share in his glory as he sat on the throne. One on the left side of the throne and the other on the right side of the throne. Now, isn't that something else? He was staring at the cross. He saw the cross in his mind. Before his eyes was the cross and dying in humiliation and shame and the suffering that would come along with it. And they were dreaming of kingdoms and of glory and of wearing crowns and ruling over the nations.
You see, they all thought that the reason Jesus was coming to Jerusalem was to establish his kingdom and to reign upon the throne of David. So they sat there with stars in their eyes, and Mama wanted to make sure that her two boys got a good spot close to where all the action was happening. But it doesn't end there. You keep reading. Look down at verse 24. There was a backlash to Mrs. Zebedee's request. In verse 24, it says, "And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brothers." You see, the 10 disciples got angry. How dare these two try to curry favor and butt the others out to some lower position? Oh, they did not like what their two friends were up to. And I'm sure that the conversation amongst them was flying, and it was not pleasant conversation. How dare these two put their mother up to trying to weasel position and power and shove everybody else out of the way? So you can see, folks, things are not well right here. And that is what caused the Lord Jesus to rebuke all of them. If you will look at verse 25, it says, "But Jesus called them unto him and said, Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister." You see, look at me, folks. The disciples thought, as they were getting ready to come into Jerusalem, they thought that Jesus was going to go into town, sit down upon the throne of David, and rule the world. Jesus knew that that wasn't going to happen. He knew that he was going to into town to die for your sins and mine. But they thought, this is it. We're going to be big stuff now. We're going to be hot dogs now. And so the Lord, he says, "Guys, you're missing. You are wrong. You do not know what you're asking. You are missing. Listen, I'm going to establish a kingdom, but it is not an earthly kingdom. It's a heavenly kingdom. And in the kingdom that I'm about to build, it's not like the kingdoms of men that you're used to. The kingdoms of men have rulers, and those rulers lord over the people. And that's what's in your heart to do. But that's not what my kingdom's all about. And when I establish my kingdom is going to be the opposite of man's kingdoms. In my kingdom, the one that is the highest is the one who sees himself as the lowest. In my kingdom, the main guy is not going to be the one served, but the servant. You see the point? That's what he's saying. Verse 27. "And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant." And here is the prototype of that. "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So from verse 25 to the end of the chapter, he told them that his kingdom was different from the kingdoms of the Gentiles that they were used to seeing. He said, in my kingdom, the first shall be last, even as the Son of Man did not come to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. So folks, here's the point. Things were tense here. I mean, things were tense. Anger is in the air. Strife and tension was so thick you could feel it. So what does the Lord Jesus do? What happened next? You go into chapter 21. And when they drew nigh, verse 1, unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples. What does Jesus do? Well, that was when our Lord suddenly sent two of them on this errand. You see, folks, they are all dreaming of glory and of thrones and of crowns, and he deliberately, suddenly, almost seemingly out of nowhere, after rebuking all of them for their wild imagination and misunderstanding, sends these two on an errand to bring him a donkey. Now, folks, don't miss this. In the midst of this tense situation, they're all standing there ready to go to blows. After his rebuke, Jesus says, hey, I need you two to walk over there to Bethphage. And when you get there, you're going to see a little donkey and its colt, and it'll be tied up. And you tell the guy who owns them, the Lord hath need of them. They're all thinking and dreaming of thrones, and he sends them to get a donkey. Do you see it? They're all sitting there seeing themselves exalted higher than Caesar. And he sends them on a mission to get a smelly, stinking, stubborn mule. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. They are all wrapped up in thrones and dreaming of coming glory, where they would be rulers and have authority beyond their wildest imaginations. And he sends them on one of the most menial tasks that could be thought of. And I don't suppose that they understood it right then when it happened. I am, however, sure that one day they would understand once they looked at it with hindsight. And what would be the lesson that they would glean from this? And here it is. The teaching is over. Here's the lesson. The lesson would be that in the kingdom of God, nothing would ever be too lowly of a task for a member of that kingdom to perform. What a lesson this is for us today. You know, in this age where we think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, this is a lesson that we all need to learn. It seems to me that Christ often rebukes us in this same fashion. You know, the truth of the matter is this, Christian. As we serve the Lord in the kingdom of God today, the truth is there are more menial tasks than there are big, showy tasks that need to be done for the Lord. There are just a lot of little things that the Lord has need of thee for. You see, vision is good. Vision is good. But we need to realize that vision is not all there is. You know, often when we are filled with visions of our self-importance, that is when the Lord calls us to some humbling task. Vision is good. Don't get me wrong. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But the mark of a Christian is not vision alone. It is also instant and unquestioning obedience to do whatever the master needs done. And sometimes the lowly tasks just need to be done. Sometimes, just like with these disciples, somebody's got to go get the mule. You see what I'm saying? Somebody's just got to go get the mule. That's all there is to it. Sometimes, and I submit to you, any of these 12 could have been sent. You can you see that? Any of the 12 could have been sent. And I want you to look carefully at chapter 21, verse 1. Matthew points out to us that Jesus sent 2 disciples. But notice that Matthew does not tell us which 2 were sent. But folks, I would not be surprised when we get to heaven that we will find out that it was the 2 sons of Zebedee who were sent to get the donkey. I will not be surprised. Man, what a lesson was learned by these 2 men, or by all these men on that day. Let me tell you something, Christian. There is nothing too mighty for a Christian's hope, but neither is there anything too menial for a Christian's hands. You can be the one with the loftiest outlook, but you must be ready for the lowliest service. And when we are doing even the lowliest of tasks, which might seem to be so beneath our dignity, we discover this. We discover that we are learning more of the spirit of our master than in all the golden dreams we had as we walked beside our master on the way to Jerusalem. Oh, may God help us to understand that we are here to serve. Amen. Ruling is for the millennium, folks. We're not in the millennium. We're in the church age. We have been since Pentecost. Old Monroe Parker, an evangelist of the last century, used to say all the time that Pentecost was groundbreaking day, and now it's bricklaying time. We've got something to do. Build a church. We got to win folks to Christ. Ruling is for the millennium. Paul said we shall rule and reign with him during the millennium. But don't think about that, because right now we got a job to do, and now is for serving. And it just may be that the master has need of someone to serve here, and he might ask you to do a menial task. If he does, smile and do what God wants you to do. It may be that the master has need of someone to drive a bus. It may be that the master has need of someone to teach a class full of bus kids. It may be that the master has need of you singing in the choir or playing in the orchestra. The question is, are you willing to do what the master needs done? Are you willing to go on the errand that he sends you on? You know, I'm convinced these men did not see it at the time that it happened. But I believe that probably once the book of Acts was being written, they could look back on it after the ascension and they would see a lost and hostile world that hated their very existence, and they would remember sitting around and arguing and fussing over who would sit in what seat and in what position of power. And they would remember how the Lord Jesus gently rebuked them for their foolish thinking and sent them on this errand. So that's why I say to you that if you're going to understand what happened in chapter 21, you first of all have to see it in the light of a rebuke. Now, keep your Bible open, and I want you to follow me. I'm almost done. All right, follow me. Here they are, and they're coming across the face, the backside of the Mount of Olives. And they stop. They get up the next morning. Here comes James and John's mother. Master, before we take off today, I just have one request. Everybody standing around. Can you see them in your mind's eye? They're all standing. All the other disciples are wondering, well, what's she up to? And she says, Master, when you come into your kingdom, I would appreciate it if you would allow my two boys. And she probably looked over and smiled at him with a loving smile. These two fine boys of mine, would you let them sit in positions of power? One on your left hand, one on your right hand. Well, picture the scene in your mind. James and John are standing there smiling. Oh, Mom. Oh, Mom. But then picture the others. They look at one another and say, did she just say what I thought she said? Hey, they were humans. They were like you and like me. And one of them looks over and said, did I hear that right? Are you kidding me? And then they start. Ying, 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 ying. And here's the Lord standing over here, and he's going, oh, got such a headache. Doesn't anybody listen to me? I know what he feels like. And he's standing there, and he's thinking, he knows. He's going to Jerusalem, not to rule, but to die. He knows that. They hadn't figured it out yet. They think he's going to rule. And so, what's he do? He looks at her and says, ma'am, you don't know what you're asking. Look at your Bible. Look at your Bible. Ma'am, you don't know what you're asking. Are you willing to drink the cup that I have to drink? That cup was the cross. That cup was the cross. Are you willing to drink that cup? And then he looks over and here's the disciples. Ying, 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 and they're bantering back and forth. Yak, 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 yak. I can't believe this. Wait a minute. These are preachers. They're going to be the representatives in the kingdom. And here they are. And so the Lord is standing over here after he rebukes Mama. And And now he looks over here and here's the disciples. And they can't stand Peter, James and John now. They're sitting there shooting daggers at James and John, firing off emails. Can you see it? Come on. They're on book face. You know, you'll say a whole lot more on book face than you will in reality. Oh, be careful. You say, Pastor, it's Facebook. I know what it is. It's book face. Oh, look at him. Good grief. All right, boys, listen. Y'all got it all wrong. You think I'm going to Jerusalem to establish a kingdom and we're going to rule and reign here? No. I'm going to Jerusalem to establish a kingdom, but it's not an earthly kingdom. It's a heavenly kingdom. I'm going to Jerusalem to die on the cross so that men can be saved. And I need some people that will represent and be an ambassador for my kingdom. And we're not talking about position here. We're not talking about power here. We're not talking about placement here. What we're talking about in the kingdom that I'm going to establish is ministry, serving, loving, helping, kindness. We're not talking about military might. Now, I didn't read it, but you can look at it. Look at the last three or four verses before the end of chapter 20. Just glance at it real quick. What's going on there? Two blind men. They're coming down the road. And they hear this bantering and they hear this argument and they hear the people and the blind men. They can't see. And they say, what's going on? And somebody says, quiet, Jesus of Nazareth is going by. And they start hollering, Jesus, Jesus, help us. And the Lord stops. It's almost, right? Look at me now. You know what's going on. Look at me. So here they are. They're making their way. They're making their way towards the city. And they're moving along. All this fighting and fussing and quarreling, anger in the air. The Lord rebukes the disciples, rebukes the mother of James and John, tries to explain what's going on, and he says, you need to be a servant. Now, let me show you how my kingdom works. Come here, blind man. What can I do for you? Lord, if you will, give me my sight. Not a problem. Thank you, Lord. And I guarantee you the Lord turned around and looked at every one of them and said, now that's what I'm about. That's what I'm about. You guys are fussing and fighting over who sits where. That's not what my kingdom's about. The first shall be last, the last shall be first. In my kingdom, being a servant, that's more important than anything else. Ministering to the needs of others, that's the most important thing. And then he stops and he says, oh, and by the way, James and John, go over to Bethphage. There's a donkey over there. Get the donkey, bring it back to me. Okay. And they go. And they go. What's the lesson? The lesson is, folks, sometimes the little thing, the menial thing, is what the Lord has need of. And if we would understand that we're here to serve, if we would just realize the Lord has placed us here to serve Him. And sometimes that menial task may be what's needed. You know, the menial thing, like sitting in the nursery during Living Cross. You got 300 and some people up here ministering to the community, and we have to have somebody stand back there and say, I'm sorry, we don't have nursery tonight. We couldn't get anybody to work in the nursery. You listening? I mean, the applications can be made 1,000 different ways. And if we all would learn that the first shall be last and last first, and that we're to be servants and ministers, and sometimes it's the menial thing that the Lord has need of, it would stop all of this griping that goes on among God's people today. It would stop all the fussing and all the not getting along that takes place among the Christians in the average church today. Folks, just go on a simple little errand for the Lord. Just step up and do something that you never in your wildest dreams ever thought that you would do. Sign up to keep the nursery one night. Go to Dr. Atkinson and ride on a bus and help some little boy or some little girl come to Jesus. Amen. Get out of your comfort zone and join the choir. Man, I sit here every Sunday night and I watch all, and there are so many choir members out here. You say, well, I'm not in the choir. You sing the songs. Won't you get up here and sing them? Folks, this is bricklaying time. We need to get with it. By the way, Friday is Passover. You say, what's that mean? I'm telling you, the Lord is pretty consistent about doing big things on big days. You say, Pastor, you believe the rapture could happen this soon? I most certainly do. I most certainly do. We don't have time to sit here and quarrel and be selfish and say, oh, let somebody else do that. No, we need to get with the program. We need to get with the program. The menial tasks. The little things. Parking lot attendant. Usher. I mean, there's so much. Just, folks, be here this week and serve the Lord. Do the little thing. Do the little thing, and God will bless you for it. I'm not done, but I'm finished.